Good morning, everybody. Stefan Molyneux, 21st July, 2024. And I hope you are doing well. I hope you're having a beautiful Sunday. We are going to do a little something different today. Maybe this will be the case going forward. First hour, open questions. Second hour, pure spice, just for donors. So if you could remember to go to fdrurl.com/meetup, fdrurl.com/meetup, and let us know if you're interested, and we can have a really great, fun family weekend of philosophy, games, karaoke, and great balls of fire and fun. So I hope that you will. Way down upon the Swanee River. Yes, indeed. It just keeps on rolling along. All right. So I am, family-friendly free domain meetup. It will be mostly without chaps. Mostly. I can't guarantee everything, but mostly. All right. So let's get your questions and comments and issues and challenges. And get your comments on. Get your comments on. Donations, of course, more than welcome. I don't have to flip over to Rumble and be disappointed by the near infinite cheapness of Rumble watchers, but you know, you follow the money. Oh, little Bitcoin bump. Oh, lovely. $92,756.17 Canadian dollars for a itty bitty diddy coin. Do you want to know if we can't make it? No, that's fine. If you can't make it, that's fine. That's fine. Just, I don't know if you've ever run stuff before. I've done I did some in the corporate world, client meetups, and it's a challenge, right? It's a juggle because you need to know the venue. You need to know what to charge and what you are going to charge. I don't want to make a lot of money off this. I'm happy to break even. I just think it would be fun to meet everyone. But what you have to do is you have to figure out how many people are coming so that you figure out how much to charge. I don't want to overcharge and I don't want to undercharge. So figuring out how many people are coming 6 months away is a challenge. Figuring out the price and all of that. There probably will be an early bird special, and then it will just have to go up afterwards because it's more complicated later, if that happens. Thank you, Monsieur David. It's so funny. I just said to people, I don't need to know if you're not going to be there. And Tom decides to say, I won't be there. Tom, sometimes the listening skills can be very, very interesting. I think I'm going to wait till the non-family-friendly meetup. Really? Interesting. I'm not sure why. But I guess everybody can make their own decisions that are generally incomprehensible to me. Some people choose to become accountants. And I guess I need accountants, so I'm happy that they do. Robert Barnes has the right idea. For $5 a month, US dollars, you control the stream. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. North Florida is all farmland, no swamps, just the good old Suwannee River. Is it Suwannee River? Greetings from the sauna of Manitoba. Yes, Manitoba, land of winter and mosquitoes. I did some work up there as a gold panner prospector in the very northern part of that, and it's not exactly the armpit of the north, but it ain't exactly the vagina of Regina. All right. As a manager of accountants, I feel personally attacked. Well, you know, here's the thing, though. Accountants look at me and say, well, some people go to shred their reputation by telling useless truths to an indifferent public. So I guess I look as crazy to them as you. It's just the way things roll. All right. So percent of US adults who are illiterate. What do you think? Percentage of US adults who are illiterate. What do you think? What have we got? All right, I got the children, life full of suffering, blah, blah, blah. All right, what have we got? It's about a little over 20%. And more than half of Americans read at a sixth grade level or below. So that's just important, right? So you understand that 20% of Americans are illiterate. And it's not all immigrants. Only 36% of new immigrants are functionally illiterate in English. So now, as far as, so the 20% of people can't read functionally. Half of people read at a sixth grade level or below, which means Harry Potter is too complicated for them. And I know this from back in my corporate days when you would write instructions and so on. There would be always somebody who says, well, you've got to write them at a sixth grade instruction or below because blah, 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 people, right? So more than half of people, and very few people read, and very few people think. So can you imagine? This is the funniest thing in the world, really. And I, you know, people are like, oh, you should take these things more seriously. It's like, bro, I had 40 years of seriousness. I'm just laughing at shit now. Like, I've had 40 years of wrestling with people and shredding my reputation and sometimes my peace of mind to bring the truth, reason, and reality to people. They have wisely chosen to follow all the sophists in the known universe. So now I just laugh at them. But can you imagine if private schools were running things and 20% of people were illiterate after 12 years in private schools, everybody would say, gee, we really need government schools because without the government, people just aren't getting educated. They don't even know how to read. Because it's government schools, people don't sit there and say, damn, that's some ass-grab-tastic, crap-tastic numbers. We really have to try something different. Nope. 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 Was that customer-facing instructions? Yeah, yeah. But my customers were all sophisticated, intelligent people, right? They're all managers and CEOs and CFOs and all of that because it was all environmental stuff, right? So that's fairly high level. This is the part of the population that doesn't have an internal dialogue. Yeah. You know, there is... It's kind of chilling just how many people... I mean, this is the NPC meme, right? Nothing's going on upstairs. Nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. Nothing's going on up there. And that's sort of important to know. This is why having a smaller audience is in many ways better. Hey, Steph, remember when you were going to run into the burning building to save society and they couldn't go one website over? Yes, very liberating. Very liberating. Very liberating. If you're going to risk your life trying to save a drowning guy and he just repeatedly spits at you and punches you in the head and risks your life, it's like, well, sorry, good luck with all of that, right? Well, yeah, so everybody's, what do they got? Misinformation, which is things they believe to be false. Malinformation is a great term. Malinformation are things that are true, but we don't like. Things that are true, but could be harmful. And, of course, misinformation is a massive problem in the world, say the leftists. Misinformation is just the worst thing ever. It's like, okay, so let's say that you're right, that people can't determine truth from falsehood and they're easily manipulated by lies. Huh. I wonder who gets to educate people for 12 years and try to tell them how to differentiate truth from falsehood. No internal monologue. No, no internal monologue. They have no voices in their head. There's no internal dialogue. I saw a graph that shows the vocabulary of modern U.S. president speeches and the vocabulary used by grade level. Now it's an all-time rated on a grade 4.6 with Trump. Yeah, you can't use any reasonably sized words. I mean, there's a great meme. When you're arguing with a leftist or you're arguing with a boomer, you're just arguing with the television that doesn't care, that can't hear you and doesn't care about what you say. Is the reason for a lack of internal dialogue massive trauma from childhood or is it intelligence? I don't know. I don't think it's just a matter of intelligence. They're from very smart people who say they don't have any internal dialogue. I think it's a European thing, the internal dialogue, because we've had, debating has been core to our culture in the West since the days of Socrates. Greetings from Germany. Well, welcome, 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 welcome. So yeah, it's pretty tragic.
I think they have an internal monologue, but depending on how dismissed their consciousness is, but it's like they're sitting on a banging trap door. I don't know what that means. How do you never have internal dialogue? Amazing. Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot, that's diversity, man. us and the people who don't have internal monologue. Yeah, I mean, the dumbing down is wild and inevitable. All right. Permission to swear on this fine Sunday morning. I don't know if you want to start off with Super Spice. So here's the numbers. 21% of the U.S. adults read below a fifth grade level. I don't think that's correct. 19% of high school graduates in the U.S. can't read. 42 million U.S. adults can't read past a fifth grade level. 50% of adults in the U.S. can't read a book written at an eighth grade level. All right. I have an internal cacophony. Yeah, yeah. I love the internal debates. I'll never be alone till I'm dead. Right? Then it'd just be me and the worms. All right. What is the counter argument for the people who say they don't want to have children because life is full of suffering? The intolerable and inherent suffering of existence argument. Oh, life is so miserable. Life is full of such existential, deep and appalling Nietzschean suffering that I just can't bring children into the world because I'm just suffering so much, don't you know? Yeah. Oh, and back to the literacy thing, by the way. Have you ever tried to read Moby Dick? That was incredibly popular. That book was incredibly popular. It was a bestseller, and it's very complex. Was it Maine, or was it said 98% literacy under government, under non-government schools, under sort of private schools? Like, you know, in America, there was, what was the one with the fractions now? Yeah, there was a third pound burger. It was something like this. There was a quarter pound burger, and somebody wanted to compete by introducing a third pound burger, but their sales tanked. Right? Quarter pound burger. Hey, for the same price, you can get a third pound burger, and people wouldn't buy it. Why? Because the number three is less than four, so they thought they were getting less burger. Bernays said the public school should be just, the public should be just literate enough to be propagandized, no more, no less. Yeah, probably. So, can you imagine somebody in a movie is sitting next to you in a movie and you're enjoying the movie and they just keep leaning over, tugging at your ear and saying, I hate this movie. My ears are hurting. I've got a headache. I can't stand the dialogue. I can't understand what's going on. I think everyone's ugly. It's offensive to every single one of my sensibilities. The last hour I've been in this movie has been the worst hour of my life. I can't stand this movie. This is the most horrifying, appalling revolt. I've thrown up three times. I'm allergic to this movie. I've broken out in hives. I just can't stand it. My nipples have fallen off. This is the most excruciating, appalling experience known to man, right? So you watched a movie with my mother. I think your mother was in it. So why are you still here? You can get up and leave anytime. Why are you still here? So, people have a lot of synonyms for I'm fucking lazy. Right? When I hear people's justifications, 9 times out of 10, It's just a synonym for lazy. It's just a synonym for lazy. Sunk cost fallacy, no. If you walk out in the first 30 minutes, you can get a refund, right? Yes, life is suffering. You don't want to have kids. You're just lazy. Kids are work. I understand that. You're just lazy. You're just lazy. No, I'm not lazy. I just understand the existential suffering of here. No, you don't. You're lazy. You're lazy. Shut up. You're lazy. We need the welfare state because we got to take care of the poor. I get it. You're lazy. You don't want to go to the poor section of town and talk to people. You know, they're icky in your view, right? I get it. You're just lazy. You're just lazy. We must have abortion. I get it. You find birth control beyond your capabilities. I want to keep dating rather than settle down and have children. I get it. Dating is fun. Raising kids is work. I get it. You're lazy. I get it. I get it. Just say you're lazy. But people create all of this polysyllabic bullshit infrastructure to just cover up the fact that they're just lazy. I got a bunch of questions I was answering this morning. Steph, I haven't really delved into your work, but could you answer this incredibly complicated question? Like, okay, I get it. You're lazy. I have a question about UPP. Have you read UPP? Only takes a couple hours. You can listen to it. In fact, there's a shortened version in Essential Philosophy. You can get through in about an hour. Well, I haven't read Peaceful Parenting, and the short version is out now, peacefulparenting.com. You should check out the condensed version. I haven't read Peaceful Parenting, but could you answer me these three questions on parenting? The only thing I want for lazy people is for their organs to be as lazy as they are. That's all I want. I'm just kidding, of course. I'm just joking. But wouldn't it be funny? I mean, can you imagine? Life is shit and it's all suffering and their heart is like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll stop pumping then. Oh, my God, get me to the ER. I'm having a heart attack. The Widowmaker has blown. Or, I don't want to work because it's all capitalist exploitation. Okay. How about your stomach and lungs stop working? No, no, they must work. I don't want that much suffering. Just, I would like it if people's laziness was listened to and acted upon by their organs. Right? Life is, I don't want to work. I don't want to have children. It's too much work. Life is suffering. It's like, oh, so if life is suffering, I guess your muscles should. Yeah. Right? And everybody just falls down and they can't use their muscles. Well, at least we wouldn't have to hear them whining about how life is suffering because, you know, muscles suffer when they work, right? You get this lactic acid in it's like half scar tissue muscle mass, right? So muscles, they don't want to work. Your heart doesn't want to pump. Your lungs don't want to breathe. Your stomach doesn't want to digest. It's like an acidic furnace down there. Your bowels don't want to massage massive kanji-shaped lumps of shit through the intestines and out the rectum. Rectum damn near killed him. So your muscles don't want to work. Okay, maybe your penis, right? Your muscles don't want to work. Your belly doesn't want to work. And what if they were as lazy as you are? Wouldn't that be exciting? Somebody says, life is just suffering, and they have a heart attack because their heart doesn't want to have them continue with their suffering. And your heart like, oh, is life suffering? Jeez, I don't want to, I'll pull the plug, man, because I don't want to, if it's just suffering, right? If it's just suffering, we'll pull the plug, right? I mean, if somebody's in bed, they're brain dead, their cortisol and adrenaline levels are off the charts, which means they're probably experiencing a lot of pain. They have no chance of recovery. You pull the plug, right? So for people whose life is suffering, they just pull the plug. Isn't that what happens in the medical sphere? I mean, I've actually been there with a friend when he had to make that decision. His mother had a terrible stroke. She was brain dead. She was suffering. He had to make the decision to pull the plug. It's a horrible thing. But that's what people do, isn't it? If life is suffering, you pull the plug. So to me, it's just funny that you know for an absolute fact that all the people who complain that life is suffering, if they have a heart attack, they're immediately calling 911. Oh, thank you, my heart, my cœur, for relieving me of all this suffering. It's like, nope, no. They'll go straight. Oh my God, save my life, doctor. Save my suffering. Yeah, I get it. You don't want the pride that comes from hard work. You don't. I understand that. And you understand that propaganda bots, the NPCs, are just lazy. They're just lazy. They don't want to think for themselves. They don't want to reason to themselves. They don't want to access new information. They don't want the discomfort of thinking they might be wrong. They're just lazy. Just lazy. And we have a society that breeds laziness. It breeds laziness. Breeds laziness. So we have a lot of lazy people around, and they don't understand that work is fun. And of course, lazy people are parasites on the hardworking, right? If a lazy person's internet goes down, they're outraged. They're outraged. I can't get my prawn, can't get my online gaming, can't get my Netflix, can't get my YouTube. I'm outraged. Well, what if everyone was as lazy as you? How long would society last? They turn on their tap and they don't get water, they're outraged. Right? Can't get cell service, they're outraged. Oh, so the problem is that other people might be 1% as lazy, 1% less hardworking than you? Is the penis a muscle? I can only speak personally, it's more of a peninsula. What's the best way to send you questions? I've started UPB and I have a ton.
Is there a limit?
You didn't. You're trolling me, right? You're trolling me? You're trolling me. Yeah, you have to be trolling me. I was just talking about how lazy people don't even bother finishing UPB and send me all these questions on UPB. And I assume you're just trolling me. What's the best way to send you questions? I've started UPB and I have a ton. Is there a limit? So the reason I write more than one page of UPB is there's more. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, how about the guys at the power plant and the internet infrastructure get lazy? Yeah. I just saw a woman watching Das Boot. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, contractions hurt like hell. Why, though? It's still worth it, though. Yeah. When I was 22, I was totally anti-cop, and I went to a party where we were attacked by the neighbors because they thought my friend had assaulted their sister. Guess who I called? Oh, yeah, of course. Now, all the people who were like, we don't need guns, they all have private security and who have guns. And like, not trolling. Touche, though. Do you know how efficient life is if you just listen? If you just listen, life gets so much simpler. Just listen to people, listen to the red flags, listen to what they say. Everyone tells you who they are in the first few seconds, really. It's the blink phenomenon, which is quite real. I think it was it Friday? No, when was it? Yeah, it might have been Thursday or Friday. I did a flash Telegram live stream, and a guy came in who was completely aggressive and hostile and weird from the very beginning. I mean, I knew it was going to be a shit show, but sometimes it's fun to have those, so I just did it, right? So, yeah, if you just listen to people, like honestly, just listen to people, your life gets so much simpler. Just listen to people. Is being lazy a personality trait? No. Being lazy is not a personality trait. Being lazy is being an aristocratic asshole. Well, I want society to function, I just don't want to contribute. I want things to work well, I just don't want to work hard. I want excellence to be achieved in everything I consume, but I'm not going to produce fuck all. It's aristocratic. And this is what I was talking about the other day with shyness. Shyness is a form of laziness. Because shyness is off-put. I mean, if you go and socialize, if you just stay home, who cares? But shyness is when you go to social events and make everyone else feel awkward and everybody has to work like crazy just to fill in the holes that you're digging through your awkwardness. Lazy is not a personality trait. Lazy is high status. Lazy is high status. I've always had a fascination always had a fascination. You've heard me with this in call-in shows. I've always had a fascination, like, how do people pay for shit? Like, I was on the razor's edge of being broke throughout most of my childhood and youth, right? I didn't start making any real coin until, I don't know, mid-late 20s. I was broke. I mean, I remember joining a swim team one summer. It was $4 to join the swim team, and I didn't have $4. I could not get together $4. So I had to keep going and saying, I forgot the money. And eventually, the woman in charge of it kind of understood that I was broke, also based upon, you know, when you have really old bathing suits, back in the day, it was Speedos. They get those little fluff balls on them hanging by threads. They turn into little, you got an ass like a COVID virus. And I was absolutely broke ass, absolutely broke. I had a bike that I had assembled from things I found from the garbage. I couldn't afford the bus sometimes. And I just had to bike. I had a job. I had to bike for an hour and a half to get there and get back because I just couldn't afford the bus. Because yeah, I was paying my own rent since I was renting and utilities and food since I was 15, right? I had two roommates, three roommates, in fact, at one point. And so I was just broke. So when people are like, I went to go traveling, and I'm like, how? Where do people get their money from? It's incomprehensible to me, foundationally. I mean, I know where women who travel get their money from, but I don't know. Where do men get their money from? Where do you get your money from? I guess, what, daddy gave you a credit card or something, but yeah, people are just, I had to work. I would have loved to have gone on a trip to Russia I think it was in grade 9 or whatever. Everyone went on a trip to Russia. It was like $1,500. Obviously, I couldn't afford $4 at times. I just couldn't get it, right? Couldn't get it. Oh, the call on Thursday was amazing. I don't know how you kept your cool. How do you fight that laziness? The opposite, do you know what the opposite of laziness is? What's the opposite? No, it's not hard work. That's the effect. What is the opposite of laziness? What is the opposite of laziness? How do you fight laziness? Action. No, that's the effect. How do you fight it internally? Drive. No. At the root of laziness is selfishness. And so how do you fight selfishness? With empathy. You start giving a shit about your fellow men and women, your fellow citizens, your fellow human beings. You stop being a Pac-Man consumption of other people's hard work. You stop being aristocratic. You stop being narcissistic. You stop being so fucking selfish that you expect the world to work, though you contribute nothing. You start giving a shit about other people. Stop being lazy. Because when you're lazy, you put all the work on other people. It's unbelievably selfish. You start giving a shit about other people. And you start to recognize how you look on the outside rather than just how you feel on the inside. Start giving a shit about other people. And you think, how would I like it if the farmers were lazy? I'd be enraged, I'd be panicked, I'd be frightened, I'd be hungry, I'd be desperate. How would I feel if those around me were lazy? If the people who provided electricity were lazy, I'd be upset, angry, cold, bored. Well, that's how people look at you when you're lazy. It's annoying as fuck to be around lazy people. Oh, they're so bored. Oh, they're so tired. Oh, they're so unmotivated. Oh, they're just so, I don't know, man. Like, and then they invent all of these bizarre. They invent all of these bizarre ideologies to justify their laziness. It's like, man, if you put half as much work into fixing your life as you do justifying your laziness, you'd be a force of nature. You know, people on welfare get mad that they can't get doctors. Oh, I'm sorry, people on welfare. Are you complaining that the doctors aren't working hard enough?
No, it's just selfish. I mean, people who are lazy, it's just parasitical. It's absolutely lazy. I mean, okay, so let's say you've inherited a bunch of money and you're lazy. Okay, well, you only have all of that money because somebody else worked really fucking hard.
Take. Swallow. Take. Absorb.
No. You're a remora. You're a vampire. Start giving a shit about other people. Stop just consuming. And having this crook-fingered, bored, couch potato aristocracy of, well, everybody else should work hard, but I just can't seem to find the motivation now, can I? Turns my stomach. It makes my skin crawl. This lazy shit. Think about others. Now, why is it important to think about others? Well, of course, you want them to think about you, so you stop being a rank fucking hypocrite when you start to think about other people, because they, right? You ever been in a restaurant with a lazy person? Or an incompetent person? Somebody just doesn't get their shit together? You've been in a restaurant, they order something, and the waiter forgets the order? Do you know how outraged and upset lazy, incompetent people get when a waiter forgets their order? You see what I mean? It's pathetic. It's embarrassing. It's hilarious. Or people who don't work, how mad they get when their government checks are slightly delayed. How dare they not send my government checks on time? When have you ever had to be on time for anything?
It's funny. So the reason that you practice empathy with other people, is so you have empathy for your future self. The reason you have empathy for others is so the bonus you get is empathy for your future self. Right? It's just a matter of choose your suffering. Well, I don't want to suffer now through hard work. Okay, so you just suffer later by being broke. Right? You just suffer later by being broke. I don't want to go to the gym. That's uncomfortable. That's suffering. It's like, okay, well, you just suffer later with ailments and creakiness and soft bones and flaccid muscles and joint problems and, you know, obesity and, right? Okay, so it's just choose your suffering now or choose your suffering later. And lazy people, first of all, they're hypocritical because they want everyone else to be competent and hardworking. And secondly, lazy people will always complain later on about their aches and pains. I don't care. When people my age, right? So at my age, right? I'm 57, I'm 58 in a couple of months, right? So at my age, the work you've done or the work you haven't done, the bill is due. The bill is due to everyone I know who's my age. Right now, I'm not a super fit guy, but I exercise pretty regularly. My blood work is great. My blood pressure is great. I can do 40 minutes of cardio. I did an hour of hard racket sports with my wife yesterday, and I walk briskly while doing the call-in shows usually. So I work fairly hard. I'm not some big gym guy, but I work fairly hard at being fit. And, you know, this is almost 58, right? No particular wrinkles. I mean, in the sun, little squinty stuff. But, you know, I don't look. I look at my videos from 10, 15 years ago from time to time. I look better now because I was heavier back then. I've lost weight, 30 pounds about 15, 20 years ago or 15 years ago. Kept it off. And I'm still continuing to drop, sort of 5 pounds a year. And all of that. So I am working fairly hard, and I've put in, I can't even tell you how many tens of thousands of hours into exercise. Over the years, I've watched what I've eaten. I really make sure I get to bed on time, get good sleep, all that. So I, And it's paying off. Now, the people who haven't done that, well, it's bad. Back problems, knee problems, hip problems, obesity problems, blood pressure problems, stress problems. Or they just look like shit, right? I mean, this is 57. I've still got a jawline, you know, not too wrinkled. I honestly didn't think I'd look this decent at 57. And I see other people who are in their late 50s, and it's like, bro, you look terrible. Like, you know, I stay hydrated, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? Again, I'm not a super fitness guy by any stretch. I could not run an Instagram on look like me kind of thing, right? But, you know, not bad. So now the people who are older, whose bodies are falling apart and they're in chronic pain, and it's like, I don't care. I don't care. Sorry. I like, if you didn't care about you when you got older, why would I? Because empathy for your future self is why you do the work. Why you, you know, this year, as you know, I got off processed sugar. So that's been good. And I like sugar a lot, right? But I'm off processed sugar. That's a good thing. It's not easy at times. I get that yearning. It's mostly gone now. But for, you know, some months, there was that yearning, burning kind of want to have gotta, right? And, you know, I'd have some dates because it's natural sugar or whatever. And that's fine. I can live with that, right? But just the processed added sugar, I'm off, right? So the people who have, oh my God, I got teeth problems. I got this, I got that. It's like, well, you know, I floss every day. I use a water pick. I brush my teeth. I see the dentist every 4 months. And, you know, I just work at my teeth, right? Because tooth pain is just about the worst pain that there is, right? So I work at my teeth. So people with teeth problems, it's like, well, did you floss? No, right? Did you visit the dentist regularly? Well, not as often as I should have. And it's like, so if you didn't care about your future self, why would I care about your present self? But they still complain and they still feel hard done by. I don't understand it. I genuinely don't get it. I mean, if you eat so much you get fat, you're going to have health problems. Complaining about them is incomprehensible to me. There was a Michael J. Fox movie, I can't remember the title of it, but he's trying to get a job and he says, but I got a humanities degree. I got a degree in history or whatever he got, right? And the guy's like, well, we don't care about that. And he's like, well, what did I go to school for? And the guy says, well, you had fun, didn't you? It's like, okay, well, you had fun, right? So the times when I was denying myself, the times when I was sweating at the gym, even with a headache, and I didn't want to do it, and the times I don't like going to the dentist, who does, but when I go and get my teeth scraped and checked and the x-rays and all of that sort of stuff, right? When I'm doing all of that stuff and you're not, you're choosing your future. You're choosing your future. And when that future shows up, inevitably, if it's bad, it's because you lacked empathy for your future self. So if you lacked empathy for your future self, why would I have empathy for your present self when the future has arrived? You didn't care enough about yourself to take care of yourself. So why would I care? I mean, you can transfer resources, you can't transfer time, right? So I spent all that time in the gym, and I spent all that time not eating what I wanted to eat, and I spent all that time studying and learning about health and all of that. I spent all of that time doing that. Tens of thousands of hours subtracted from my life. So I'm not going to waste more hours commiserating with you about the entirely predictable effect of your own decisions. Like 70 to 80% of healthcare issues, of medical issues, are the direct result of choices, bad choices. So if you didn't care about your future self, why would I? But people say, well, your mother, you should care about your mother. It's like, my mother did terrible things, didn't get help, wouldn't get feedback, wouldn't listen to anyone, didn't take advice, wouldn't read up on anything. So her life is terrible. I can't change that. I don't respect that. And I'm not going to, if she didn't care enough, like, you can't care about people more than they do themselves, right? This is how to deal with addicts. You can't care about, I mean, you can try, you can pretend to, but you can't care about people more than they care about themselves. And if people are lazy and oh, I spent my 20s playing video games and so on, and it's like, so you didn't care enough to build a future. Why would I care about your present? Now the future is here. You didn't care about yourself. Why would I care about you? This is what I mean. You just have to listen to people. So people who waste their time and people who don't plan and people who don't save the money. It's like all the people who don't save their money. And it's like, I'm finding it hard to survive on Social Security. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, it's an insult to Ponzi schemes to call it a Ponzi scheme. But of course, then the money's not, I mean, people my age might get some of it, but you younger folks, I don't imagine there's going to be anything for Social Security or old age pensions when you get older. So all the people who were like, I had fun spending my money. Great. Great. So take what you want and pay for it. You didn't care enough about your future to save your money or to invest. You didn't care enough about your future. So why would I care? So empathy for the future self, empathy for others, is the opposite of laziness. Laziness is saying, fuck my future self. Okay? So then when you grow into your future self and you complain about being fucked, it's like, sorry, maybe that's what you wanted. Everything that people do as adults is what they want. There's no exceptions. And I refuse to give people sympathy for what they wanted. If somebody saves up and saves up and saves up and buys their dream BMW car, am I going to, oh, I'm so sorry you got the car of your dreams. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's so, oh, he wanted the car. He wanted the car. He saved for years. He bought the car. Hey, man, congrats. You got what you wanted. You got what you planned for. You got what you wanted. Why would I commiserate with people who are getting exactly what they want? You eat badly, you don't exercise, you waste time, you're flaccid, you're lethargic, you're lazy, you end up with a bad middle age. It's what you want. It's what you wanted. It's what you chose. I'm not going to give people sympathy for what they so obviously choose. Talked to a guy the other day, complaining about this girl he was dating in his 20s, and she had obvious red flags from the very beginning. Like, hey, I sympathize with the childhood stuff for sure. But he's like, yeah, I had a really tough relationship. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, you chose that, right? But the sex was great. Okay, so you chose the sex over a quality relationship. Or, I mean, with a really quality relationship, you get great sex, but you chose, right? This is the constant thing with men, right? Yeah, she was crazy in bed, man. It's like, yeah, so she's crazy. So you take what you want and then you pay for it. I mean, it's like somebody who goes to a restaurant, orders a meal, and then demands sympathy when the bill comes due. What, are you crazy? It's funny. It's funny. Like all the liberal women who are like, well, we got to let all the violent criminals out of prison. I can't walk the streets at night. But you chose that. I'm not going to sympathize with what people voluntarily choose of their own free will. I don't know. Bizarre. Yeah, I had sex with a woman who promised me she couldn't get pregnant. She got pregnant. It's like, well, that you chose. Back in my late teens, early 20s, my parents set up a rule. Either I'm in school or I'm working and saving my money. I chose work. Paid for a few cheap cars, sold up and used savings to buy a good used car, saved for a down payment on a home, traded my savings to my father for liquid assets to pay for the mortgage and fees. This was 20 years ago. Picked up double shifts weekends. Yeah, good for you, man. Good for you. Think the government did worse with people's empathy, made people think coercion is empathy. Right. So people want the unearned. Oh, and to the person who was saying, I'm totally wrong. Steph, you're totally wrong. You're totally wrong. First burp on show. You're totally wrong, Steph. There are lots of hardworking home invaders. It's like, no, home invaders are lazy. First of all, they like the thrill and excitement of invading people's homes, so that's a plus for them. So they're not doing hard work. And secondly, they take stuff and sell it. That's lazy. So they're lazy. Free stuff makes people selfish and lazy, right? So, like women who sleep around like crazy when they're young, and they put out quasi-sexual content on the internet, and they send nudes and selfies and topless selfies to guys and all of that, and they just make, you know, really, really bad decisions. And then they get into their late 20s or their early 30s, and they start to get that crawling egg death panic, and they are like, well, now I want a rich guy. You know, guys become wealthy because they're accurate judges of quality. Guys become wealthy because they successfully defer gratification. So wealthy guys want people who know what quality is and are able to defer gratification. And if you want to marry into a wealthy family, you know, wealthy families will literally hire private investigators to check out the backgrounds of people, women who are interested in their sons or men who are interested in their daughters. You will get a deep background check. They will find everything and anything. So women make these absolutely retarded decisions to be hypersexual, hyper lazy. Oh, you know, like when the woman says, I traveled around the world in my early 30s. I traveled around the world in my early 20s. All men see is her traveling around the world on a pogo stick made of dicks, a pogo dick. Boing, boing, boing. That's all it is. That's all it is. Okay, we get it. You traded sex for travel. Okay. And you destroyed your pair bonding to get selfies in Thailand. Okay. And again, you know, whatever. Do what you want. I'm not going to nag you, but I'm not going to give you sympathy when you can't find a quality guy who'll settle down with you in your 30s. Yeah, but where do you draw the line? When is it enough effort? Because I believe every person has this feeling, even you, Steph, I can always do more. Sure. But you also have to be competent at rest. Right? You also have to be competent at resting. I don't get how you scrimp and save while they go partying. Then they're jealous of you having nicer things later in life. Yeah, for sure. Everyone basically knows how to be healthy. They are just addicted to the excuses, the feeling of being a victim. They crave that. So when you say, I wish to have sympathy for the results of my choices, let's be frank. We're not talking about everyone. We're talking about women as a whole. Great women in my life, lots of exceptions. But as a whole, people who crave sympathy for their bad choices are women. How do I know that? Have you ever tried being a man and getting sympathy for your bad choices? Try it. If you doubt me and you're a dude, try getting sympathy for your bad choices. Try crying to people that you were lazy in your 20s and you don't have a good income in your 30s. What will people say? Well, you chose that. So when we give sympathy to women, which is very toxic, right? Because most people don't want to take ownership. But they have ownership, whether they want to take it or not. Obese older women are the biggest offenders. They get so many poor women. Oh, pity her. Yeah, well, maybe she made some mistakes, but she's suffering now. It's like, but she didn't care about her older self, so why would I care about her older self? Yeah, it's better to over-exercise a little bit, do junk volume, not working out enough and never progressing, yeah. Well, and because people won't admit their mistakes, we have cut off the next generation from bitter wisdom. So women in their 40s who screwed around in their 20s and early 30s and then couldn't lock down a quality mate, they're not saying to young women, don't make the mistakes that I made, right? Men will do this as a whole. Men will say, don't do what I did, son. Don't make the same mistakes I did. Women don't do that as a whole. I used to run a lot, says this lady. Oh, you got the same shit. Yeah, yeah. It's like they think you're saying the sex is really good excuses everything else. It's like, well, so you were too lazy to woo a quality woman, and maybe you were fearful of a quality woman, and so you wanted sex quickly, and so you looked for a woman with no boundaries, and then you complained that she has no standards. The worst is when old women didn't care about using their childbearing years for childbearing and are now lonely. I mean, I say this because back in the Twitter days, right? Back in the Twitter days, I would talk about this with women and say, you know, your childbearing years are largely done at 40. You're going to live into your 80s. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I don't want to be dependent on no man. It's like, okay, well, then you're just dependent on a boss who's often a man, right? My sister, who turned 30 not too long ago, keeps dating decent men for 2 to 3 months and then breaking up with them for some silly reason, including but not limited to, he wanted to get more educated and he wanted to spend more time with me. Right. So, I don't know, of course, but my guess would be that your sister has burned out her pair bonding and therefore gets great anxiety when the pair bonding starts to form, because she's then being asked to actually do the job of romance, which is to pair bond. You know, if I lie my way into a job, I'm actually kind of tense when they ask me to do what I say I can't do, like what I said I could do, but I can't, right? I mean, when I was a teen, I got a job at a hardware store and they said, do you have any experience fixing screen doors? And I'm like, yeah, I got the job. I didn't have any experience fixing screen doors. So I killed a lot of time cleaning stuff. And then the boss guy finally said, hey man, can you go and actually fix some screen doors and do something that's going to make me money? How do you think you're getting paid? And I'm like, can you just remind me? And so I went and fixed a whole bunch of screen doors, learned it pretty quickly. But I didn't want to be caught out on stuff I lied about. I didn't want to be caught out on stuff I pretended to be able to do. And so she has a deficiency in pair bonding. So when the relationships start to expose that, she freaks out and runs. I get that. I've known a few travel hags, and yes, body count higher than Pol Pot, but still not as high as stewardesses. Oh my gosh. Where have all the good men gone? Damn, most of the men I meet here in Paris in particular live on excuses this and injustice that. Yeah, yeah. It's systemic bigotry is why I can't succeed. No, the bigotry is against your future self. Yeah, like burnout is a real thing. So you have to rest. You have to be good at resting as well as working, right? This reminds me of my brother, who has an unhealthy lifestyle. He complains about lower back problems and tiredness, yet he's shocked when I point out his lifestyle choices. It's truly something. No, he's not shocked. He's just pretending to be shocked because he wants a sympathy, right? Sympathy is the biggest resource transfer in the world. Unjust sympathy, sympathy that is not earned, is the biggest resource transfer in the world, and so much dysfunction comes out of that. Speaking of resting, how do you know when you've done enough to deserve a bit of rest? What? That's like asking me, when are you thirsty? How do you know you've done enough to deserve a bit of rest? You're tired. You've done your work and you're tired, so you rest. Okay, if you don't care enough to type your question well, I don't care enough to answer it. If the question is not important enough for you to type it well, I don't care. This is just a quality thing, right? Jeez, I don't know why people do this stuff. Steph, what about women who get breast reduction? Practically every man in the world cringes at it. No, because it's inconvenient. Maybe they want to play golf. Maybe they want to do racket sports. There are lower back issues. I mean, you try filling up couple of pound bags of something or other, right? And walk around, and it's unpleasant. It's difficult. The most common advice older women tell younger women is to cut their hair short. Oh, it's so convenient. No, it's not. No, it's not. So, yeah, of course, because older women are constantly in competition with younger women. I mean, having single older women corrupts the generational relationships, because women in their 40s should be raising their children, not competing with younger women for guys, right? I feel like this stream is not inclusive to lazy people. No, I'm trying to help lazy people. To be cold and hostile to your future self is not a good strategy in life. The post-honeymoon stage is really hard for women when you're dating men don't criticize you. They start after the honeymoon stage and then it increases again after marriage. You need to prefer your man will criticize you all over the other... Sorry. You need to prefer your man who will criticize you over all the other men in the world. Still, it's hard to cope with criticism when you've never had it before. I don't understand this at all. When you're dating, men don't criticize you. I'm probably missing something obvious, so I'm sorry about this, but why would you criticize someone you love? You love them because they're wonderful. Why would you? I mean, I'm 22 years into my relationship with my wife. We're still in the honeymoon phase. Why would you criticize someone you love? I mean, maybe a little feedback here and there. That's fine. You know, did I add too much salt to this? But I don't criticize my wife. Why would I criticize my wife? I love her. What am I missing here? You can't nag people. You can't criticize people that you love. You're just criticizing yourself because you chose them. Yeah, reading fiction when you're young does help you develop empathy. What are the best ways to develop one's empathy? Well, imagine you're the other person. That's all it is. Just imagine you're the other person. So when I do shows, I'm trying to empathize with the audience. What's helpful for you? What would be enjoyable for you? What's interesting for you? I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. And what is it like to watch me, right? So just imagine what it's like for the other person. You know, if you're an employee and you're frustrated with your boss, what do you think it's like as a boss to manage you? Right? What is it like to sit across the table from you in the morning? What is it like to go on a date with you? What is it like to spend time with you? Are you positive, energetic, enthusiastic, happy, healthy? Are you a whiner, a complainer, negative, a downer? Like, what is it like? Just think about what it's like to spend time with you. Empathy is just a basic recognition that we're social animals and it matters how other people see us. All right. At what point do we begin to recognize whether our current situation is due to a troubled childhood or our own poor choices? Sorry for being lazy earlier, and that's fine. I appreciate the apology, and we're going to go to donor only in just 59 seconds. Does not sound like love to ask your loved one trap questions to have an excuse to be mad at them. No one wants to be treated that way. Yeah. What is it like to date you? What is it like to be in love with you? What is it like to manage you? What is it like to be your friend? Are you enthusiastic about your friend's successes? Do you really, really want them to succeed? I'm a good friend of mine, started a business not too long ago after transitioning from being in the arts, and he's just killing it. I mean, I went and toured his whole factory, and like I'm so thrilled and happy and excited for his success. I just think that's wonderful. I have a little bit of entrepreneurial experience. I've given him a tiny bit of advice, but I mean, he's just doing great. Are people around you excited to be in your presence? Are they excited and positive and thrilled and happy? Do their hearts sing when you come by? All right, 3, 2, 1. And we are supporter only. All right, hang tight.